Thank you. Well, God is good. You agree with me or not? He is good. That is fantastic testimony. I love testimonies with healing and stuff. Because I know that God is on the move. That's great. Before I start, does anyone have pain in his palm? Just here? Anyone? No? Great. If you are at the end, come and I will pray with you. I'll be speaking about Psalms. So we're starting this Psalms, and I have to admit, it's going to be a messy thing because I struggle to prepare. I don't know why. So completely, whatever it comes out, I just pray and hope. I want to share it from my heart. Is that all right? Everybody understands me. That's good. It's a good start. If you don't understand me, go to my wife. She will interpret. I want to just start with this joke. This guy is in the airport, and a little girl ran up to him, about maybe 4 or 5, and she says to him, "The Lord forgives your sin." And this guy looks at her and says, "Okay, little girl, I know." She ran away. So he's standing there in the queue for his, you know, for going through the check-in, check-out. And this girl runs up to him again and says, sir, I have something important to tell you. So he said, what is that? And little girl looks at him and says, God forgives every sin, and he loves you. They said, I know, little girl. And she runs off. And then she runs again, and it's just getting on his nerves now, you know. And she says, sir, I have something to tell you. He said, what now? God forgives all the sins, and he loves you. He said, I know, I'm a theologian. I'm a preacher. So, girl kind of turns around, walks away, and then comes back and says, you know what, sir? God forgives that sin as well. Right. Can we start being serious now? You know what? Psalms, what it means from Hebrew, literally, it's a praise songs. And what it means from Greek, it's songs to the accompaniment of the string instruments. So, in itself, psalm is a great thing to be speaking on. And I would like to kind of drop kind of background on the psalms and maybe classify them a bit. And then I want to talk from my own experience. I'm really practical. And I love God with all my heart. And I'm really passionate about Him. And this is just part of my life, who I am. So if I get a bit loud and very excited, just please accept me who I am. Because this is who I am, really. My wife can tell you that. I'm really loud. My neighbors can tell you I'm loud. If you talk to my mom, she knows that I'm loud. In fact, I'll tell you this funny story. I don't know why I'm going in these jokes. But when I came to England and we were getting married with Jess, one of the friends of her dad, he said, you can stay with us. And they were away. So, having a good prayer time, and pizza arrived as well. Me and Jess were sat in the garden, and I'm eating pizza, and I'm just full of joy. And I'm just saying, hallelujah! So the neighbor opens the window and says, you all right? You know, so praise is actually, you can't get closer to that than that, is my name in Ukrainian. That's what it means. I'm from Ukraine, and if you say Slava Gospodu, it means praise to God. My name Sviatoslav, it means holy glory or holy praise. So, you know, it's just that kind of name that my parents gave me. They probably didn't realize what they gave me, and that name, it was special for me. When I got saved, when I met with God, and He revealed Himself as loving Father to me, I realized this is something special. Every one of you, each of you have a special name from God. If your name doesn't match perhaps what is in the Bible, that God says in the New Testament, He says in the Revelation, I am going to give you a new name. A new name written on a stone. Powerful. So powerful. He loves you so much. In fact, He created you because He loves you so much. You are part of His heart. And He desired you so strongly that you were born on this earth for that reason. And that joy cannot be enough to kind of keep it down in my heart. Each time I think how wonderful my Savior is, He just bubbles up with praise. And I want to shout, hallelujah! I can't contain this. It's a fire in my heart. It's a fire in my bones. I cannot hold it together. When God comes to me, He messes me up at times. I weep and I cry. And I'm about to come up to the side. I just driven all these miles in the van. And I'm about to jump out. And sometime when I walked into the office, my colleagues, they say, are you all right? You look really tired. I'm not tired. I've just been weeping on my way home. Because Jesus was touching me. I'm okay. Sometimes I look grumpy. But I'm not grumpy. I've just been in this deep encounter with God. And I need to somehow get out of it. You get home and kids kind of hang on you. Are you out of it straight away? It's lovely to have kids. Right. I'm drifting. So I promise you something else. I promise you the book of Psalms in the Bible has its own place. It's a powerful book. It's very powerful, personal, full of emotions, poetic book. It's a description of man-God relationship, in my opinion. You know, each one of us, if we start speaking of Psalms, reading them, we'll find ourselves on a journey with God in some ways. If you start reading Psalms, the very powerful way it would be when Psalms start reading you. When you read Psalms and they start reading you, you arrived to the place where God is going to talk to you. You know, sometimes you look in Psalms and it's a lot of moaning to God. God, why are you asleep? God, wake up! We are suffering here. But what really inspires me, they always finishes off in praise. When you come to the point and you say, God, I know you well. No matter what I go through right now, I know you come through. You're constant God. He spoke to me a few months ago and he said, I am constant. Focus on that. People, maybe you're not like me, because I'm only the one who is unstable like that. But I know when things come towards you and it's kind of like hammering and hammering and hammering. It gets under your skin. And all you can see is the trouble you're in. All you can see is the problems around you. You turn on the news and it's adding on and things happening. And all you can focus on is that problem. But God says, I am constant. I was there when you felt good. I was there when you had a breakthrough in your life. I was there when you experienced strong anointing. I'm still here. I'm still the same God. Just pursue me. Just press on. And gets to it. And I'm the same God who gives you praise. Fills up your mouth with praise and anointing to come to before my throne. Same God. Same constant God. That gives you passion. That gives you love for Him. Same Jesus. Same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same God lives in you. It's the same God is for you, not against you. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's what Psalm says. Who can be? Amazing God, creator of universe, creator of everything. He is your God. He is your Father. If it's difficult for you to hear, just focus on Him. Just break through to Him. He's constant. He never changes. You know, in the math, there's a certain level, or in physics or whatever, there's a certain level which is accepted as zero, or number one. It's like, you know, all this problem coming to your life, and in math, anything to the power of zero is one. Anything. One to the power of zero is one. Million to the power of zero is one. I have million problems around me, but it's to the power of zero, and it's one. Always. Always the same. Same God is constant. And He never changes. This book, Psalms, could be divided in five sections or books, which are, that's in my opinion again, man in creation, suffering and redemption, worship in God's house, Psalms of pilgrimage on earth, our journey on earth, and Psalms of praise and word. I know today I'm supposed to be focusing on praise mostly, but I can't help myself but touch on the personal relationship with God. I just can't help it. I want to read you Psalm. I want to read you Psalm 23. It's very important about the author. And it's really important to understand the background where our author is coming from. Most of the Psalms, I believe strongly, this book of Psalms, by the way, I'm going to read to you the Psalms as my wife's book. It's a Passion Translation. So they may sound different. I would greatly encourage you to buy one of them. If you buy them and you start reading them, you'll fall in love with Psalms again in a new way. It's so God-inspired, so Holy Spirit-inspired. I was weeping yesterday just reading some of the Psalms. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. You know, I mentioned to you that I weep and I praise. I'm an emotional person. And I believe we all are. Emotions are there for a reason. To praise God. And express yourself. Let me read Psalm 23 to you. You know what the Psalm is? 23, yeah. The Good Shepherd. David's poetic praise to God. Let me read this. The Lord is my fierce protector and my pastor. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. How about that? His tracks take me to an oasis of peace. The quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of the deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. Selah. As some song said, pause and think about that. Your fear will never conquer me because you already have. He conquered me. I'm his. How powerful is that, eh? You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You become my delicious feast. This is so powerful. This is Psalm of David when he was young. You know, it's very important to understand the background of psalmist. You know, some of you going through the hard time, I just can feel it. I just can see it in your faces. I can see it through you in a way. You're going through a hard time. But tell you what, I want to encourage you today. It says, you know, in other interpretations of the Bible, it says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow, or valley of death, I know you're with me. Most of the psalms, most of the worship songs, they are born from sufferings. And this is why anointing is there. It doesn't come just because, but it comes from the deep meaning. David. Another psalm, great psalm to read is Psalm 19. It's when he was about 16, 17 years old. He wrote the psalms. But where did he come from? Let me take you somewhere else. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Which is always confusing when you start reading English Bibles, you realize they're a bit different to Ukrainian or Russian Bible. There's no Samuel in the Russian Bible. There's 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 3 Kings, and 4 Kings. So 1st, 2nd Samuel is Kings. So if you have the pleasure of traveling abroad, and you start understanding the language, and you realize, what they're reading from, that's 1 Kings, that's Samuel. 1 Samuel 17, but I'll read 16 first. Now, let me just drop kind of like an event what happened there. Saul, he was the first king of Israel. He was tall, handsome, head and shoulders above everybody else. And he was anointing because Israelites, they said, we want a king. Like every other nation have a king, we want a king. So God said, all right, he sent Samuel, who was a prophet, to anoint him. And this is how it happened in the Old Testament. The prophet would come and he would anoint somebody for the king or the priest. And then anointing was presented, the oil that was poured on the person. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit in those days. And then anointing of the Holy Spirit would come upon them. So Saul, he messed up big time. I have no time to explain this all. But Saul messed up big time. He didn't wait for God. He didn't trust God. And anointing left him. So the Spirit of God left and the evil spirit came instead. And he was tormented by this evil spirit. And he didn't know what to do. So he came to advisors, and advisors, they said to him, you know what, find somebody who is able and he is really good at playing a harp. I would say harp. It says lyre? Lyre, yeah. Not lyre. Like basically guitar. Let's say it in our language, guitar. So somebody who is really skillful, like Dave, playing guitar. Not like Slava beginner, like Dave. So I said, somebody's skillful. And when he plays the song, that evil spirit will go and you'll feel better. Saul told his servants, find me a man. Verse 17, 16, 1 Samuel. Saul told his servants, find me a man who plays well and bring him to me. One of the young men said, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who plays skillfully, a valiant man, a man of war, prudent in speech, and so on. He explains who he was. So Saul sent messengers, and Jesse took a donkey, verse 20, I'm skipping verses, loaded with bread, skin of wine, and so on, and kid, and sent him by David his son to Saul. Verse 23, and when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David took a guitar and played it. So Saul was refreshed and became well, and the evil spirit left him. So he was really skillful what he was playing. Now, the story of David is he was really young and he was a shepherd looking after sheep. You know, nowadays, modern days, we might not understand complete picture of what the shepherd is all about. In nowadays, what you see, I watch on TV a program, or some of my friends, they dream. I happen to have these friends who like retiring on the Southwest and buying a few sheep and be shepherds. That's what this dream is. You know? I don't know why, but nowadays, the modern days shepherding is you have a compound where the sheep are, you have a whistle, and you have a dogs running around. And that's not really real danger in England, is it? You don't expect wolves or anything coming out to sting the sheep. You know? And but those days were different. When David says, the Lord is my pastor or shepherd, very often said, he meant something else. Shepherds in those days, they were brave. And they were really brave people, because you have an open space. And at times, the wild beasts, they will come and steal your sheep. I will read it from chapter 17, just to drop the context of it, what I'm saying. 34 or 37. Now, this is a different story I'm revealing here. David is becoming an arm bearer for Saul, for the king. And obviously, he knows all the news, because he's the first man next to the king that knows everything. And what happened here, Philistine, they had this the big guy. What is his name? Who remember? Goliath, that's right. So they have this guy, Goliath, which was amazingly huge. And Goliath stands there and he says, who are you, army so-and-so? And starts swearing at them and all that stuff. And saying, look, I'm going to kill every one of you. So come on, bring somebody who can stand against me and fight me. So David overhears this. And early on, in the Bible, it explains that David was this cute boy with the blue eyes. He wasn't massive. He wasn't strong. In fact, when Samuel came to anoint another king, he saw all his brothers but David. He was the smallest one of them all. And David says to Saul, Is that right? You're going to give so-and-so if somebody stands against the Goliath? And Saul say, yes, it is correct. He said, I can do it. That's quite surprising. And David said to Saul, I'm reading it from the Bible, your servant kept his father's sheep. So Saul said, how are you qualified? What degree do you have? And David said, this is my degree. I used to look after sheep. Well, that's not really assuring, is it? They are killers there, proper killers. This guy is huge. And this boy is qualified because he's looking after sheep. And when there came a lion or again a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, lion or bear, they're not small. I've been in a compound with lions in South Africa. And they were only baby lions, 1 year old, about this big. And it was kind of frightening experience of it because they want to play with you. But the way they play, the claws come out, and they kind of like, you know, like cats, they play with you, which is a lot bigger. And one of them went through my trousers, left 4 holes in them. So that was my souvenir from the cage, and I decided I will not go there again. So this kind of lions, not cubs of 1 year, come and stole the sheep. I mean, they were probably so big, the sheep would just kind of fit in their mouth. So bear and the lion would come. And David then says, in verse 35, I went out after it and smote it and delivered the lamb out of its mouth. So he's chasing after Baloo and Simba, jumps on them, opens the mouth, takes the sheep and say, off you go. You now have a bigger smile. Because he just opened it. He just made him smile wider. So off you go, Simba. Don't come back again. Off you go, Baloo. Find your bear necessities elsewhere, not my sheep. So this qualifies me to go out and fight this Goliath. You know the story, what happens afterwards. He comes and he just takes his slingshot and smacks him in front, in his forehead. And he said, who is this Philistine, uncircumcised, who is blaspheming God's name? And God's army and God's people. Surely my God, who gave me this anointing and this ability to fight the lion and the bear, can find this Philistine. He's only a person. I'll go and fight for him. If nobody else can, I want to do it. And this gives me context. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be afraid. You know what? He developed his personal relationship. What do you think he was singing to Saul playing guitar? A worship songs. A praise songs. You know, when the worship is on and praise is on, Holy Spirit comes. When the Holy Spirit comes, it brings comfort, it brings breakthrough. What he does? He brings healing. He lifts you up. That's what Holy Spirit does. But that's what David was doing. He was simply playing guitar, getting out of the personal relationship with Jesus. I'm kind of bringing 2 lines. Are you alive? Oh dear. Thank you, Lord. Bless him. So, this is personal relationship with God. And after personal relationship, I don't believe that you can write a worship song or praise song without having a personal relationship with God. Because what is worship? It's a love song. If you can write the love song, you can write the worship song to God. Simple as that. It's nothing complex. Oh, I don't have a lovely voice. How do you know? God give you this voice. Sing for yourself. Sometimes I just singing and it is not poetic. I just driving a van. Thank God nobody's around me probably. And sometimes I just sing to God. Sometimes you have these moments when you feel down and you just think, why am I feeling down today? What's the reason? There's no reason. And you just kind of like, first of my kind of reaction to it is, Lord, you want to say something to me? Maybe I should pray for someone. And if that doesn't come, you just say, Satan, get out of here. Holy Spirit, come. I want to praise my God. He hasn't changed. He was good last night when I was going to bed. In the morning, nothing changes. Hallelujah. Jesus died on the cross once. That changed everything. And nothing else changes. You know what? When it's a relationship, there's an argument. Sorry, but that's true. There will be disagreement in marriage. There will be disagreement with the relationship. No matter who you are, best friends or whatever, you will fall out in some points because you have different opinions. A healthy relationship with God. And often, very often, when the fallout happens, when you don't understand each other, or you have your idea and the other person has his own idea, we're in a relationship with God. And sometimes you don't understand it and you're angry. God is constant. Guess who needs to change? None of us created this earth to be so perfect and so balanced and the whole universe. Guess who has to change? I'm sorry, but that's the news. Let me just bring something out of my life. I just want to bring this example of my life because I like to be practical and kind of bring it forth. I went through the season in my life when I got saved in 97 or 96, can't remember it now. When I got saved radically, and I said, God, my life is yours. I want to be after you. I don't understand many things. These people speaking these funny languages, this in tongues. You know, our church believes in speaking in tongues because it's biblical. So what you heard maybe earlier, I'm explaining to those who don't understand it, that, you know, these funny sounds and the language you don't hear, you don't understand. That we call it tongues, is you speaking in spirit. So I thought, I don't understand it, Lord, but I'll give it a shot. Well, you know, we came in the church, and the church was really Pentecostal, really traditional. And first thing, I remember we were filled up with joy as youth do, and we started singing Christian rock and roll, which was absolutely outrageous. You know, it was in the youth meeting. Some of the people from the church came and they say, look, they sing rock and roll. And my pastor, in all his wisdom in those days, he just said, are they actually praying? Yes. Then leave them alone. And one of the ladies with the background from Catholic Church, she said, she was really hungry and thirsty for God. And she said, Lord, if it's them, change them. If it's me, change me. I never forget her. Next Sunday, she was dancing with us. Because she was open. When you're open to God, when you read Psalms, some will read you. But it's so deep. So I said to the Lord, yes, I want to be completely yours. And the Lord sent me to South Africa. I don't have time to explain the whole story. I will maybe share it sometime, the testimony. But it was powerful. He knew that Slava always likes to run away if he faces the trouble or if he faces the crisis because of certain things in my life. And so I was in South Africa. The ticket was bought there and back. And I had no money to buy another ticket to come home. So I had to be there. And God really worked in my life. And back in 2000, when I went to South Africa, I did not speak any English at all. So I had an interpreter. So the sessions in the mission school, they were interpreted for me. But outside of that, I could not even have a conversation because I didn't know English at all. So what would I do? I can't fly home. I can't escape, can't run anyway. I said, Lord, it's you and me. And nobody else to talk to. So I went through this kind of season from I was saved for about 3 or 4 years. I wasn't watching any TV movies. I wasn't listening to any worldly music at all. I was soaking up his presence. I was only praying, reading the Bible. That was it. This is a true story for my life. I'm not expecting it to be the same. But that was my season. And I remember this clearly. I used to spend reading the Bible and just praying 4 or 5 hours a day. When the students went to do their own things after dinner, I had a prayer room. Maurice just was here, you can ask him. I had my own prayer room. Why? Because I was really loud when I was praying. One evening I went out with my Walkman. I went to the township. And when I came back, they said, where have you been? I said, I went to the township and back. I was just praying and walking. They said, were you done? You're crazy. They would have killed you there. Well, I don't know. Maybe I had big angels behind me. But I went there and back. It was fine. So they said, please don't you go there. I said, okay. So where is the next best place? And the way it was a boy's house, a church, and a girl's house. So I went to the back where the cars would park in the car park, and I would pray there. And one night the car came out after me. And I kind of walk away, and I can clearly see the behind me, going by, and I say, oh dear, I need to go probably back. It's about 1 o'clock in the night. So the window goes down, and I take my Walkman off, and I say, excuse me, we are Christians, we love God, but you are so loud. And the house is just behind this fence. So I said, okay. And they spoke to the pastor, and one of our leaders said, can you please pray behind the house? So I prayed there as well, and the next morning, guys woke up and they said, and when you pray, we have goosebumps, but man is loud. So they gave me a shed and a violin. So I thought, well, it's a good time to get into violin again, because I completed the course and I was playing violin. So I took the violin up in my hands and I'm in the shed, praying and just worshiping God. I'm sure all the cockroaches and all the spiders, they got saved as well. But it was lots of them. And that wasn't enough. So they brought me into the room. It's a storage room. And my goodness, I looked at that and I really enjoyed it, because they had this cassette player, if somebody remembers, old enough to remember that. Most of you probably are. Same as me. So that was a cassette player, and it was and a CD player in those days with the speakers. And I was like, wow, this is paradise for me, you know. Could just whack the worship on, sit behind my own desk, and it would be wonderful. Only later on, the leader, he admitted, he said, the reason we put a mattress against the window to suppress the sound coming from this room. And I tell you something, guys. You know, in some psalms it says, and you command your messengers of wind and messengers of fire. He talks about the angels. And it speaks about in Hebrews as well. How would they know that? How would the people know? It's not all poetry. It's poetic and it's lovely, but it's coming out of the personal relationship with God. And one evening, when I was worshiping, all of a sudden, ceiling disappeared. Walls disappeared. And I saw an angel standing right in front of me. I was so freaked out. I wasn't anything like saying, you know, oh, maybe this is the picture. He was so clear. You close the eyes, you see him. You open your eyes, you still see him. And I ran out of that room and I was afraid to go the back there during the day. My hair would stand up as soon as I walked by the room. But next day, I picked up all the bravery and I walked in to get my journal that we had to submit to our leaders. It's just writing down the facts. And I said, Lord, I don't want to see this angel again. It's pretty scary. But that was, you know, coming out of personal relationship. This was my room. This was my place where I would practice my personal relationship with God. I would say, Lord, speak to me. And He would speak to me. How would I know? Because I said, Lord, each time you speak to me, I want to hear clearly where it is in the Bible to kind of confirm it. That's how I was learning to hear His voice. I want to kind of like encourage you. When you want God to speak to you, say, Lord, speak to me through scriptures. Because scripture is the God breath book. Speak to me through Psalms. Start reading Psalms. They're prophetic. It speaks about Christ coming in the Psalms. They have element of prophecy in them, which is wonderful. God will teach you a lot through Psalms. It will impact your life. So much passion in Psalms for God. It will just impact your life so greatly. And I was just saying, Lord, I want to know you even deeper. And I remember those days when I was starting understanding English and I was listening to Hillsong, and there was words like, and they were so, and wings of ego and stuff like that. You know, lots of psalmists, I really truly believe that this book is not complete. Psalms and Acts, probably two books that are not complete. You know why? Because the great psalmists are all around us still. Lots of worship song, I consider psalms as well. There's a difference. These psalms, they inspire the other guys who write worship songs. Like, blessed be the name of the Lord. You remember that song? Blessed be your name. It's coming from the Psalms. I'm probably over my time. I don't know where I am. Can I read one more psalm? Because this is powerful. This has impacted me, and I want you to get hold of this as well. Have you ever thought that Jesus sang psalms to his disciples? Have you thought of it? Have you ever thought of it? Well, how would you explain to me in the Bible when it says, after the supper, they went up the mountain and they sung? There's a psalm in the Bible that actually what Jesus sang with his disciples. I'm not going to give you everything. You're going to dig for it. Find it for yourself. But there is a psalm here. Ah, now I got you interested. Psalm 149. If you can open it with me, it would be great. But again, 149. But I'm going to read through this Passion Translation. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! That's a good beginning for the song. It's time to sing to God a brand new song, so that all His holy people will then hear how wonderful He is. May Israel be enthused with joy and because of Him. And may the sons of Zion pour out their joyful praises to their King. Break forth with dancing. Make music and sing God's praises with the rhythm of drums. Wow, we're going to have drums. For He enjoys His faithful lovers. He adorns, which means make it beautiful. He adorns the humble with His beauty. So He makes beautiful the humble with His beauty. So you're even more beautiful than you are, because He gives you His beauty. And He loves to give them the victory. God loves to give you victory in every situation. I mean, if you can't be inspired by this psalm, I don't know what you're going to be inspired with. This is brilliant. His godly lovers triumph in the glory of God, and their joyful praises will rise even while others sleep. God's high and holy praises will fill their mouths. This warring, for they shouted praises. This is a really important verse. For they shouted praises are the weapons of war. These warring weapons will bring vengeance on every opposing force and every resistant power, to bind kings with chains and rulers with iron shackles. Praise-filled warriors will enforce the judgment doom decreed against their enemies. This is the glorious honor He gives to all His godly lovers. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. He gives to all the godly lovers. Are you a godly lover? This is yours. He loves to give you victory. Praises, they're just not the songs that you sing in the morning in a church. Praises, this is your weapon. So Psalms is a book in amongst the Bible. God discreetly gives you a weapon. And when He gives you revelation of what His praises is all about, He releases this weapon. How powerful is that? When you praise, the kings abound. The principality powers have no chance to stand in the midst of the praising people. No chance at all. If you feel down, praise Him. If you feel joyful, praise Him. If you don't feel anything, it's not about feelings, praise Him. He's still God. The enemy cannot stand amongst the praising people. He just cannot. Because praises are powerful weapons. I want to finish with something else. It says in Psalms as well that they sing their praises because they last forever and ever in eternity. How do I know that? How does He know that? Because when you read the Bible in the Old Testament with Moses, he came across the Red Sea on the other side. He sang the song. And the same song, when John in the Revelation, he says, and they sang Moses' song. Thousands of years after. Once you sing this song of love to God, it lasts forever and ever in eternity. Is that going to encourage you to sing to Him and praise Him? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Your good. And we love You so much. And we're passionate for Your holy name, Lord Jesus. You are so wonderful. You're so powerful in our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the intimacy we have through you for Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're revealing to the loved ones your mysteries. Mysteries of love. Mysteries of praise. Prophetic dreams. Father, I pray for this church that we will dream prophetic dreams. We have desire to go out and make your kingdom known in this town. That this town is going to be changed upside down because of your glory, because of your grace, because of your love. Father, because we love you, because we are changed. Father, we want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your will be done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One more thing. And this is it, I promise. Something that really touched me, impacted me a few weeks ago, is I was talking to my boss, we had a prayer. And he just said one thing, and Emmy knew it. Maybe you know it, but I didn't. And I shared with some of you. When you plant a young tree, suckling is called, right? When you plant a young tree, you don't water it every day on the top. Because if you water it every day, these roots are going to come up. So when the dry season comes and you forget to water it, it will just dry off and die. But what you do, you come and you just pour that lots of water and you don't water it. Some of you maybe was discouraged and you feel like grace is gone. Grace hasn't gone. At times, you need to dig deeper. You need to go for the moisture. Go by what you have experienced before. And this is what praise is all about. Amen. Bless you. Love you all.
Great. Thanks, Sarah. Very good. Next week, we've actually got Steve Dales.